Studio 360.
The actress Laurie Metcalf is best known for her work on Roseanne in the 1980s and 90s. She played Roseanne's younger sister, Jackie.
And I guess I didn't mean to imply that you're some right-wing jackass. I should have tried to understand why you voted the crazy way that you did.
That is Metcalf in the new resumed Roseanne, which has immediately become the most popular show on television. And happened right after she co-starred in the terrific film Lady Bird, for which she got her first Oscar nomination, and right after she'd won her first Tony Award for the Broadway play A Doll's House Part 2.
You don't get angry.
Of course I do.
Maybe once you
Right ever... now I feel angry.
You don't act! Constipated.
Oh.
And now, Laurie Metcalf is on Broadway once again for a revival of a great play, Edward Albee's Three Tall Women. Metcalf plays one of those tall women, along with Alison Pill and Glenda Jackson. So before we get to all of your new successes and megastardom, I want to talk about your youth.
Mm.
You grew up in Southern Illinois,
mm-hmm.
went to Illinois State for college.
That's right.
Then you moved to Chicago. Why didn't you want to leave your Midwestern state like I did mine as soon as I could?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The short answer is that by that time I had met up with my co-conspirators who started Steppenwolf Theater.
In Chicago?
We met at school.
Really?
And that's what took us to Chicago. Not Chicago proper, just to the suburbs.
Which suburb?
Highland Park.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so two of the guys, Jeff Perry and Gary Sinise, had grown up in Highland Park, and they knew of a church basement that we could rent for $1 a month.
Wow.
And so that's where we began.
So all these people, I mean, in addition to you, there's Michael Shannon and Martha Plimpton and John Malkovich and the playwright Bruce Norris and the playwright actor Tracy Letts, with whom you've acted recently.
Very recently. Yeah. And we've been looking for something to do for ages, and it took a movie to bring us together.
You were married to each other in Lady Bird.
Yes, we were, yeah, but we've never shared the stage together. We
really?
Still want to do that.
You were lucky, and all these talented people were drawn to this one place.
Mm-hmm.
But was there a style or a sensibility or a philosophy that you all shared?
There was a style, and I don't know how to describe it. People labeled us rock and roll theater, and I think it was just because we were young, we had a ton of energy, and what fed us was that creative juice of being on stage.
I had not seen you on stage until Three Tall Women, but watching your performances on television and in film, you are so naturalistic. You are so convincingly like, well, that person's not acting. Is that a thing you tried to do or you were good at or that Steppenwolf honed?
Yeah, I think we did put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be that way, to perform at a high level of intensity, but also keep it grounded. That might be part of what the style is, I would think.
That's a particular kind of talent.
Yeah, I still kind of do work that way now that you say it. You know, I it's hard to talk about your own bag of tricks or whatever,
yes.
You know, or let's call it process.
Yes. No bag of tricks.
Yeah. It's hard to verbalize it because I'm never asked to verbalize it, you know, because I just know instinctively, I just get in a rehearsal room and start trying things,
right.
You know.
Well, here's an example of what I'm talking about. It's a clip from Lady Bird from last year, and your character is shopping for clothes with her daughter, Lady Bird, played by Saoirse Ronan.
So if you're tired, we can sit down.
I'm not tired.
Oh, okay. I just couldn't tell because you were dragging your feet. Well, I just couldn't tell.
Why didn't you just say pick up your feet?
I didn't know if you were tired.
You were being passive aggressive.
No, I wasn't.
You are so infuriating.
Please stop yelling.
I'm not yelling. Oh, it's perfect.
Do you love it?
Just so nailed it, being the husband of somebody and the father of two daughters. and the family all said, oh, yeah, okay, that's mom and the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have not been surprised, but probably bet money that had been ad-libbed to some degree. But then I look at Greta Gerwig's script, that's pretty much it.
Verbatim.
Word for word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, that, you know, it's to her credit. I mean, her writing, her dialogue. It is naturalistic. And another great thing is that she allowed us to have some overlapping. You know, language seems more stilted without it. So with it, it comes across as much more naturalistic.
That old Robert Altman trick.
Mm.
But as one of your bag of tricks. Is it in your head, or are there, I'll hesitate in this way, or how does that work?
Sometimes, yeah, there is technique. So, yeah, I can sort of in my head hear a pause would work nicely there, or I know that if I'm going to come in, interrupt her line, I have to have heard these words, obviously, or it won't make sense.
Right.
So the timing is crucial in making it look like there's no timing being done.
Right.
You have to have a nice 50-50 marriage of instinct and technique.
Yeah. Having been the mother of children and daughters, does that make playing that role a lot easier?
It did make playing this role easier,
yeah,
because on the page, I saw exactly what Greta was going for. You know, I saw the headbutting, and it's just a tiny slice of life that we're seeing this mother and daughter relationship. It's not always been this way, and it won't always be this
right.
way. This is just where we're seeing them right now. And I've had teenagers in the house, and I've had things come out of my mouth that I wish I could take back.
Yeah.
And I've seen, you know, the—
Not that bad, I hope.
Well, no, you know, some of that, I mean, that's just that tough love thing.
Yeah.
It's all coming from a place of love, but it comes out so aggressive because you're so frustrated with this kid who isn't living up to their potential, and you just want to shake them, you know, so things come out. And so it was hard for me to watch it afterwards. I mean, in the scene, I felt totally justified, of course, saying those things that I did to her. But then watching it, I was like, oh, my God, that's harsh.
You turned away from the screen, looked away when the clip started playing. Do you avoid watching yourself, or is it just that scene?
No, I don't like seeing myself on anything on film or TV because in my head, it's completely different. And then when I see it, I'm like, well, that's not what I intended. I have a 5-year rule. I like to look at something about after 5 years has passed, after I've done it, because I've forgotten all the words, obviously. And I can just be amazed at how I learned all those words.
and it's at arm's length at that
yes,
point.
Yes, yes.
You were pretty strictly a stage actor until you were 30,
yeah,
right?
Yes, definitely.
How did you make that jump into film and television, being this girl in Chicago?
Well, we had taken a play called Balm and Gilead by Lanford Wilson from Chicago to New York, and that went very well. It ran for 9 months. And so based on that, there were casting directors who came to see that, and I got a role in my first movie, which was Desperately Seeking Susan.
Good first movie.
It was, yeah.
The chicken is for tomorrow. Larry, I can't believe the two of you are eating in the middle of a crisis like this.
We're nervous. What do you want?
Then take a Valium like a normal person.
And during that time, I was literally in the right place at the right time because they were casting Roseanne. And these same casting directors who cast Desperately Seeking Susan were looking for her sister. Anyway, I hesitated. And
did you hesitate for, like, I am a theater person, reasons or not?
Kind of, yeah, because that's 30 years ago when we did that pilot. And TV had a big of a stigma attached to
right.
it, you know, for working actors. It's very different now.
It's
now,
almost TV, the opposite.
It's
yeah.
almost the opposite because yeah. there's such great writing.
And yeah.
back then, I didn't want to be known as Urkel for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
you escaped that particular fate.
I did because the show was different.
Yeah.
It was, I think, the way that Roseanne had set it up. She was willing to sacrifice laughs sometimes for the shows every once in a while to be about a serious issue.
Totally. And here is a scene from Roseanne in 1993 that illustrates that very thing. It's the episode where the Connors deal with the death of Roseanne's father. You, of course, play Roseanne's sister, Jackie.
Oh, that one.
That's it. I'm not making any more calls. You do the rest of the family list.
I can't call people, Roseanne.
Jackie, dial.
Supposed to be in mourning.
Well, then wear a veil over your face while you do it.
Can't. Nanny Barbara? It's Jackie. Jackie. I'm fine. Fine. I'm fine. I have some bad news. Dad is not with us anymore. I said Dad has passed away. He's passed away. Dad is gone. Dad's dead. He's dead. No, Dad. Dad. He's fine. can make it.
It's dark and real. It's,
yeah. You know who wrote that? Norm Macdonald.
Really?
Yeah. He wrote that when he was a writer on the show for a season.
Huh.
Yeah. He came up with that. And it has the brilliant cutaway to Roseanne just holding her head in her hand.
Yeah. And absolutely, there's nothing about that scene that couldn't be drawn from many of our real lives, you know?
Yeah. I guess that's what I was talking about with being played at a really high energy level, but trying to keep it grounded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is your character, Aunt Jackie, as she's introduced in this new season. You can't watch it because it's too new.
That's right. I haven't seen it.
What's up, deplorable?
That's her speaking to Roseanne. If you'd been watching, which you weren't, you'd see it played in a very funny way. You were wearing the pink knit pussy hat.
Yes.
And a nasty woman T-shirt.
Yeah, and I had probably the best introduction line of all time.
It was great.
Especially considering that you hadn't seen that character in 20 years. That's got to be
a
historical opening line.
Yes. Does that character in that way, in that political way, conform more or less with Laurie Metcalf's politics?
Yeah. You know, we had to get into politics because how could we not? You know, because it's first and foremost, you pick up the Connor family and plunk them down in 2018, you've got to address
the
election.
And the fact that Roseanne, as a real person, is a Trump supporter, as well as her character, playing one on TV as well.
Yes, yes.
Which has obviously dominated a lot of the chatter so far.
Yeah, right.
Has that been difficult?
Not on the set. No, we don't.
Just all your other time.
We don't get into it on the set at all. You know, we're just enjoying being with each other.
Right.
Even though it was on for all those seasons and it was number one, I never appreciated it as we were doing it.
One never does.
Yeah, right.
When and things then, go really well.
Yes, that's right. And to be able to go back and revisit it and hope that you can do it proud and introduce a whole nother section of audience members to it and hope that they enjoy it. I just feel more appreciative of it this time around.
Yes. Just as you returned to Roseanne, you returned as well to Broadway with Edward Albee's Three Tall Women, which is playing.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to listeners what that play is about, besides being about three women.
Well, you saw it. It's a hard play to describe.
I know, and there's going to be some spoilers.
There are spoilers that I really don't want to get into because I think that that's half the fun for the audience.
Yeah. Glenda Jackson is amazing, as are you. I mean, she is a legend. She was a legend when you were starting out. Acting with her every night, do you learn things? Are you just in awe? Are you just seething with envy?
With envy?
Yeah.
It was a real collaborative effort, I'll say, between the three actresses and Joe to get this play up and mounted because I found it to be really slippery. It was elusive to me in the rehearsal room for a long time. So we all became really dependent on each other. And that's what it feels like out there, that we're really trying to operate as a solid team out there.
The play, again, not giving away its secrets, is, however, about the arc of life and mm-hmm. aging and mortality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I noticed.
And yet has a lot of good laughs in it.
It does have a lot of good laughs, but also a lot of darkness.
Yes, it does.
Albee was just about the age you are now, and I am now, when he wrote this play. As I'm watching it, I'm thinking, oh, this is a guy getting on and thinking about mortality and what his life has been. Does being the age you are make it resonate for you?
Yeah, it does, because my character specifically, I mean, we all talk about as when we represent different ages in the play, and I have a great little mini monologue at the end of the
you
play
do.
That I really, really enjoyed.
Did you agree with your character's claims for why middle age is the best?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I guess you won't know until you're old.
Well, no, I'm in the sweet spot right now, you know, and I say half of being adult done and the rest to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm at the top of this mountain where I can see in all directions, you know.
Which is the great line of that sort of aria. You get the 360-degree view.
Yeah.
I mean, given it's looking over this life and thinking about the choices made and who people become and they don't expect to become and all that— if I were in that play, I would be unable to stop thinking, well, what would I tell my 26-year-old self?
Yeah, that has crossed all of our minds.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. You know, I thought that I would tell my 28-year-old self. Was I 28? I think I got an Obie Award for Balmy Gilead.
Which is the Off-Broadway Award.
I would have liked to have known then, as I was getting that, that I would be one of the fortunate people to be able to spend the next, you know, 40 years doing theater and staying as passionate about it as I was when that was happening to me then. I think that would have been a great comfort to me. I would have appreciated knowing that.
Which is interesting, given that the Allison Pill character is so full of idealism and cheerfulness that is, we learn over the course of the play, perhaps not to to regard as slightly tragic.
But yeah.
You're saying you lucked out and you were able to live your dream.
Yeah, I did. Huh. I did.
Laurie Metcalf, it's been a pleasure. I thank you.
Thank you.
Three Tall Women is on Broadway at the John Golden Theater until June 24th. And The Resumed Roseanne is on ABC.